cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
So in a week where we get a read on monthly jobs, we'll start JOLTS tomorrow. We get monthly jobs on Friday, right? One group, though, Paul, that continues to have trouble getting a leg up, and that is women. We see this consistently.
Yeah, it is. And it's an issue that probably was exacerbated as an issue during the pandemic. But let's kind of flesh that out a little bit. We can do that with Shauna Hocking, founder of Hocking Leadership, joins us on Zoom from Philadelphia. So, Shauna, talk to us about kind of your report, what your findings are showing, and then we can take this forward.
Sure. I'm so glad to be here. What I'm learning and seeing from women everywhere is that we want to succeed. We want to advance our careers. And there are significant barriers to our ability to do that. And that the pandemic, I think in particular, has shown women that we're not willing to settle anymore for workplaces that don't value us.
So help me out here, Shauna. We talk to a lot of folks, and I feel like this has been a, forgive me, but kind of a chronic problem, not just this year, last year, pre-pandemic, but for years, that women just seem to continue to come up against barriers when it comes to the workplace. Things getting better, many would argue, but it's still pretty tough, and I can still count on my hand, maybe, the number of CEOs of publicly held companies that are women. So help me out here. What new things you're finding in your research? And maybe it comes off the pandemic that things are worse or better. Tell me what you're seeing.
I'd love to reference the recent McKinsey Women in the Workplace report. I think it has the most up-to-date information from women everywhere who are saying, we want flexibility, we want a completely revamped culture of work, and we want to continue to advance our careers, but only when there are companies who are willing to support us and value the whole person that we are. And I'm seeing that from my clients as well as from the research from McKinsey and Lean In.
What are, in your research, I guess, Shauna, I'd love to get what you think is the top issue that can, in fact, be addressed. Where is some room for optimism?
Well, I am a rational optimist. I do believe that this is possible for us to work through this. I think what we did in the pandemic is we found that we had to create new models of work. And if we can continue to do that, and I know it takes time and effort, that when we begin leading for the world that we're working toward rather than from where we were, we'll be able to retain men and women in the workplace and help them thrive.
All right, you don't have to tell me or sell me that women are incredible and what they can do. But I'm gonna go back to, like, as long as I've been doing this, and it's a fairly long time at this point, I feel like I've been talking about this issue over and over and over again. So I guess I do wonder, I think we did think the pandemic was going to be, wow, look, we can work flexible, you know, hybrid. Women can work at home. It's easier since women tend to, when there's kids involved, they still tend to, you know, pick up the bulk of those responsibilities. So I guess I'm like going to what Paul said, like, what is something that we could change right now, right here, that would really move the needle when it comes to women in the workplace?
I think the number one thing that we're seeing, both research and anecdotal, is to continue to embrace hybrid and remote work. Women are resoundingly saying, I can be successful in my job while doing all the other things that are important to me, reduced commute, caring for my family. And that means that we have to think about why organizations are all of a sudden reverting back to the way that we used to be when we are hearing these messages about how we can support our employees.
That's a great point, because I think we just heard today Bank of America's tightening up their back to work requirements here. But what is amazing to me, Deborah, during this pandemic and the work from home, was how productive workers were across different industries. And I just think of the industry that Carol and I focus on, financial
services.
Everybody
got a lot done.
Yeah. I mean, I said, no way you're going to be able to trade government bonds from your living room. But sure enough, they did, and did it very well. I mean, what's the argument against that, I guess? You know, I mean, that, you know, that maybe you're hearing about coming back to work, and that might not be so supportive for women and others.
Well, first, I want to acknowledge that, yes, everybody felt more productive and also just more whole when they were working remotely or hybrid. And so what I think we're hearing now is that bosses and leaders are saying, well, I can't understand what my staff members are doing because they're not here and I can't see them. And I think there's a fear that people are really not working. But we know, to your exact point, that they were more productive than ever. And there is the sense that if you're in the office, that we will have a strong culture. And I firmly believe that workplace culture is about connections and not about presence.
No, listen, everybody talks about the importance of diversity, men, women, you know, all gender, if you will, and certainly from different backgrounds. When it comes to minorities, though, and I know your research gets into for Black women, I mean, it's even greater, the barriers, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the barriers are very high for women, and particularly for women of color. You know, Black, brown, Asian women, they are seeing all of this exponentially. And it's really something that we need to pay attention to in our organizations to help all of us thrive. That means that every group has to be able to thrive, you know, together.
Are there certain industries, you know, that do a better job of this versus others? I mean, is there some industries that maybe you think need to do maybe a better job?
You know, I think that there are many organizations that are doing this well. I hear this from my coaching clients and organizations that I work with. So it's not necessarily the industry. It's about the leaders who are understanding, I can't rely on doing things exactly the way I did them before, and saying, this is going to require me to rewrite the rules of work. And I'm seeing that, fortunately, across industries, and that makes me feel hopeful.
Yeah, the other thing, though, I don't mean to be such a Debbie Downer. It's just, like I said, I feel like it's unfortunate. I do think things are getting better in some regards, but it's still really tough. What happens, though, if we see a bit of an economic downturn? That just puts more pressure on this, does it not, Shauna?
It does put more pressure on everything. I mean, organizations are being expected to do twice as much with fewer people. And I firmly believe that if we invest in our people, the outcomes will come. It doesn't feel like it makes sense. But again, we're rewriting the rules of work. And we're saying that this is possible in the future if we do things differently.
All right, Shauna, thank you so much for joining us. Shauna Hawking, a founder of Hawking Leadership, joining us on a crystal clear Zoom call from Philadelphia. That technology is working.
I want that mic.
It's amazing. Mic envy.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.